4CIB now presents The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group. With a large team of highly experienced professionals, you can feel safe knowing that Bell Legal can help you with your legal needs.
And a very good morning to you, John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for another Tuesday morning. The Law and You, that's the program from now through till 9:30, that's 10:30 Tweed Coast time. And as always, it's your opportunity to get free legal advice. That's right, F-R-E-E, free legal advice. All you need to do is call us. Our telephone number is 55208888. That number again, 55208888. And don't forget, if you're south of the Tweed River, you need to put 07 in front of the number if you're calling. Thank you to all the people who called in last week and made for a very interesting program. And I do have some comments to make a little bit later in relation to Margarita's call about the enforcement of a judgment in Victoria. But we do have a caller who's already been waiting patiently. So we'll say a very good morning to Alan. G'day, Alan. How are you today?
Oh, look, thanks for taking the call. I'm very, very well. Hey, just a quick question.
Sure.
After I saw that Four Corners show on the public trustees, it really spooked me.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, no, it was a shocking program. I was trying to talk about it last week, actually, Alan, but we had that many calls come in. I just didn't get an opportunity to speak on it. But no, you're quite right. It was certainly very worrying, that's for sure.
Oh, look, it was terrible. Anyhow, my question is this. I had the public trustees make a will up for me a few years back. I did not name them as executives. I've named other people. I have written them an email saying, can I have my original will back? They won't answer.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent them about three, I think, and they won't answer. Can I go in and say, hey, I want my original will back?
Yes, as long as you've got ID. So if you've got your driver's license or something like that to prove your identity. Do you live on the Gold Coast, Alan?
Yes.
Okay, so and are you readily able to get to their office at Southport?
Oh, yes. No problems there whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't know why they've not answered your email, because I have to say that, you know, we regularly have clients come into the office wanting to make new wills, where their old wills are held by the public trustee. And we just send a letter to the public trustee's office with a certified copy of their ID and a request signed by the client that they want their documents sent to us, and we've never had a problem with them getting those documents to us. Sometimes can be a little bit slow, but look, basically not a problem at all. So I'm surprised they haven't even acknowledged your email, so I would be inclined to just go in there with an authority. The only thing I will caution you, though, is that I'm pretty sure that the public trustee's documents are now all held in Brisbane. And so, therefore, if you go in with the authority and your ID, or you go in and tell them you want the document with your ID, I suspect that it may be a little while before they'll get those documents to you. But I also think they probably will agree to post them to you. So, yes, by all means, if you're not getting any answer, go in and see their office.
Look, that's fine. I just didn't want them doing anything sneaky like do our Four Corners program exposed the other night. They may be snowed under. They may be snowed under with all the inquiries they're getting. But if I made another will out, that would supersede this one with the public trustee, wouldn't it?
As long as it has a clause in it which says that you hereby revoke all former wills, it will revoke it. But if you've got a will made with the public trustee but appoints a private individual as your executor, then there is no need for the public trust office to be involved in the administration of your estate. So I think the first thing to do would be to get the will checked to make sure that it's still up to date with what your needs are, and then you could make a decision from there as to whether you want to make a new will or not.
Right, yeah, I probably will, and I'll waltz in there in the next day or two and show them my ID and see if I can get my will back.
That'd be a great idea. All right, then.
Thanks very much for your trouble. I appreciate it.
No trouble at all, Alan. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB moves along as it always does, and it's just past 10 minutes past 9, 10 past 10, south of the border, as we say. Good morning to Erica. G'day, Erica. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Congratulations on your radiothon.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We're hoping that it will be very successful. So thank you for your endorsement.
Yes. Well, John, I'm ringing to give 100%, I used to be a teacher, to your conveyancing person in Bell Legal Group, Veronica, because she did everything perfectly. We needed a conveyancer end of last year, and instead of looking, we looked on the internet, and look, we priced companies, as you do, and I would say, your company came like $50 a bit more to pay, and we thought, we'll go with that. And we did, and for the peace of mind, she did everything. She contacted us on time, every time. She did the right thing. It was worth more than the $50 gap. That's for sure. So we are very, very happy. And, you know, just for all the people who need to consider a conveyancer and think we won't go with a lawyer, they'll be so much more expensive. Well, that was not in this case. And it wasn't in the Gold Coast we were selling. So, you know, they can do conveyancing over the net in other towns too.
Well, so very, Erica, thank you very much for that. I'll certainly pass your comments on to Veronica, who coincidentally sits directly opposite my office in the Bell Legal Group offices. And because I sit opposite her, I often hear her on the phone to clients. And I have to say that, I mean, I'm obviously biased because I work in Bell Legal Group, but I have to say that I'm always absolutely impressed with how unbelievably polite and happy she is when she's talking to clients. I often think to myself, wow, if I was talking to her, I'd feel really good about what I'm doing at the moment. So it's lovely to get that feedback, and I'll certainly pass that on to Veronica when I'm in the office later this morning.
She was more than efficient. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Erica. And the time on 4CRB continues to roll along. It's just coming up to 13 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed, as we say good morning to Wendy. G'day, Wendy. How are you today?
Wendy. I'm good, thank you, John. And how are you?
Very well indeed. How can I help you today?
My question's about enduring power of attorneys.
Yes.
Currently, like, we've got our wills with the public trustee, which I'm now doubtful about since the Four Corners thing. And enduring power of attorney, I've got my husband's enduring power of attorney. He's got dementia. I don't know who to appoint because I don't have anyone to appoint. I was thinking, well, maybe the public trustee could do it, but now I definitely won't. I don't know what one can do.
Right.
I don't know, and I don't know whether my husband now, with his dementia worse, he probably can't change his power of attorney, or can he,
well,
if you know what I mean.
Well, it will depend, Wendy, on whether a doctor is prepared to give a certificate to say that your husband has sufficient legal capacity to understand the nature and effect of an enduring power of attorney and to make the decision to change his enduring power of attorney. So that would be the first instance, the first issue. Do you have alternate attorneys under your powers of attorney? You said that you're your husband's power of attorney, but is there someone to act in the unlikely event that you were unable to act for him?
No, and that's what's worrying me.
Right, okay. Well, look, I think
I don't know what to do there. We have, like, the health directive side of it, appointed my brother and his wife, but they weren't so keen to take on the whole financial thing of mine or his, and I've got nobody. If anything happens to me, I could just be riding my trike bike down the down to the shop and get hit by some stupid car and I'm a goner, you know?
Yes. Well, look, Wendy, I think as far, let's deal with your husband first. So I think the first thing to do would be to speak to your GP and ask your GP whether they think that your husband still has the requisite capacity to make an enduring power of attorney. Because if he
has it, as far as it goes at the right time of the day, like at the moment he's perfectly lucid.
Yes.
If you ask him in the afternoon, it would be hopeless.
Well, that's why it's then very important to, A, make an appointment with the doctor in the morning to get that assessment, and then secondly, to make the appointment with the lawyer to change the power of attorney in the morning as well, so that these things can be done when your husband's at his best. But the first thing is going to be getting that certificate, or having your GP say that he's satisfied that he has sufficient capacity. So appointing each other as attorneys is quite normal for a husband and wife. Obviously, in your situation, now that your husband has dementia, there would be little point in making a new power of attorney which appoints him. And so, therefore, you rightly point out that you need to look to appoint someone else. So, and interestingly, I had a case just recently where a lady wanted to appoint her brother and sister-in-law as attorneys, and they actually refused as well. They said they just didn't want the responsibility. And so it does leave you in a bit of a dilemma when that occurs. Many people will consider appointing their accountant if they've had a long-term relationship with their accountant. Yeah. Other people may consider...
We're just ordinary people.
Yes, well, and other people may consider appointing their solicitor. So there are those options available if you don't feel comfortable with the public trustee acting as your attorney.
Yeah, well, after what's been said, I don't know whether it'll be safe.
Well, it was very disappointing, I must say, and it was quite upsetting to watch that show, Four Corners, 2 weeks ago. In particular, the gentleman who was stuck in the nursing home, and in the end, I think it was his social worker who stumped up the money to bring the application to QCAT to get him out. And then when she took him to the home that was still owned, to see the state of that property, it just broke my heart, because I think to myself, you know, like, there were vehicles in the yard which should have been sold. If there was no likelihood of him coming back to use them, they should have been sold, or they should have been at least garaged so that that didn't happen. The house should have been kept. He claimed that he was quite a wealthy man before he went into the aged care, and so it just struck me that as a very, very sad situation. So, Wendy, the only thing
we have no money to use it up. We haven't got much money for them to take anyway.
No.
But
well, I would suggest maybe having another word to your brother. Is it your brother or your brother-in-law?
Brother and sister-in-law. Yes, I've just sent an email off to them saying, I don't suppose you'd reconsider.
Yeah, well, I think even if you were to talk to them and just say, look, you know, the situation is that, you know, as you know, Bill, or whatever your husband's name is has now been diagnosed with dementia. It's appearing unlikely that he will be able to make a new power of attorney.
They're in another state, and I did suggest to them in this email I sent yesterday, perhaps you could appoint a solicitor to do some of the work.
Yes,
and you just oversee it.
Oddly enough, I was in that very situation quite some years ago, where a lady who was not our client was in a nursing home on the Gold Coast, she became friendly with a gentleman who was a client of ours, and they went to the local post office and got an enduring power of attorney form, filled it out, whereby she appointed him as her attorney. Now, he was subsequently diagnosed with cancer and no longer wanted the responsibility, and so he engaged our firm to look after this lady's affairs, which all worked swimmingly well for about 2 years, until he passed away, or he became very ill and then quickly passed away from his cancer. So at that point, we then had to bring an application before QCAT to be appointed as her administrator and guardian, and her daughter, estranged daughter, turned up at the hearing because the QCAT got in touch with her, and she was trying to become the guardian and administrator as well. And the member of QCAT was quite a wise person who's gone on to be a Supreme Court judge. And she asked the question of the daughter, when your mother passes away, do you intend to contest her will? And the daughter's response was, yes, I most definitely do. And so the member rightly said, well, I can't possibly appoint you to look after your mother's financial affairs if you've declared an intention to contest her will. And the public trustee are always notified in these matters, and the public trustee did not oppose our appointment either, on the basis that they indicated that, that financially they couldn't look after the lady's affairs for the fees that we'd indicated would be involved from our perspective. So it worked out okay for her in the end. But I would be going back and speaking to your brother and sister-in-law, and you could certainly suggest to them that if necessary, they could engage a lawyer in Queensland to look after things if that was necessary. All right then.
How would they be able to, because they won't know who's a good lawyer and who's a bad lawyer, and if we're living on Russell Island and say, for instance, your firm, what's that, John Fradgley and whatnot, whatever, I can't remember the name of it. If they appointed you guys and we still had property on Russell Island, you wouldn't have a problem there, would you?
No, well, you know, I've acted as attorney for clients who are in Sydney. So it's not really a big issue. Distance isn't quite the tyranny at what once was, so it's not a big issue. But the Queensland Law Society would be more than able to also provide a recommendation for any number of very competent law firms who deal in this area, who have a good reputation, and so you could always speak to the Law Society if you needed to.
Law Society. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, Wendy, all the very best. Time on 4CRB, 23 minutes past 9, past 10 on the Tweed, as we say good morning to Bruce. G'day, Bruce. How are you today?
Good, mate. How are you, mate?
Exceptionally well.
Quick questions. Yeah, good, mate. A couple of quick questions.
Sure.
I just want to know, my mother passed away last year in July, and I was a beneficiary with my sister for the will. Now, my sister just tells me that, yeah, it's there and the money's there. But should I have got a letter or something like that from the solicitor they were dealing with, or anything like they're being beneficiary?
Well, yes, you should have. You should have received notification. If you're a named beneficiary in the will, the lawyers dealing with the estate should have written to you, and you were entitled to a copy of the will if you wanted one. They should have written to you to advise you of what the benefit is for you under the will. And secondly, when the administration of the estate is complete, they should also provide you with the accounts of the estate to indicate how the money was received and spent in the administration and where it's gone.
Yeah, yeah. She was in a nursing home towards the end because she was 101, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, poor bugger. I miss it terribly.
What a great age to get to, though.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think it's probate's just, I think it's just about finished now, or it's still going on. I'm not sure. So I won't do anything yet, but I might get a letter after all that's finished, would I?
Well, I would have thought that probate would have been well and truly granted by now, because you've only got to wait for the death certificate, and if your mother's affairs were fairly straightforward, which at 101 you think they would be, there would presumably be a RAD, a residential accommodation deposit, to be recovered from the nursing home if she paid one.
Oh, yeah, that's all been
paid. And then there would just be the bank account to be closed down. So once all that's in, there's really nothing else to be done. And I'm, you know, what are we now? You're, probably getting to the point where the estate really should be wrapped up.
Yeah. Well, I spoke to my sister the other day and she said, it's just about all tidied up now, ready to go, you know. So I just thought I'll just give it another week or so, a couple of weeks, and I'll just see if I get a letter from the solicitor. Because as I say, I'm up in Queensland, you know, and of course of COVID and everything, I used to get down there quite a bit to see her and that, you know, and because of COVID and everything, I couldn't get down there much, you know what I mean?
No, fair enough.
After all that, or I wouldn't have got back, you know what I mean? So, with all that problem. So, all right, mate. Well, thanks very much for that. So, I'll just keep that in mind and I'll just ask, because my brother-in-law was the executor of the will.
Right.
And because he's a little bit crook now, he's handed it over to his son.
Right.
So, I haven't heard anything from Trent or anything, but I usually go through my sister, which we are on a good...
on good terms.
We're very close, you know what I mean? So, there's no animosity or anything like that there.
Yep.
But... as my mother's always said, it'll be left to you and Jeanette.
Mm.
But she's done this, the beneficiary, and put it, and it's in a trust too. So it's put in a trust.
Well, what I would suggest you do, Bruce, is maybe ask your sister for the name of the lawyers that are dealing with the estate.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
and you could just then write directly to the solicitors and say, look, I'd be grateful if you would send me a copy of the probate. Because the probate in New South Wales will have an inventory of assets in it, so it will detail what the assets and liabilities are. So that would be well worth doing. And you could also ask them in that same letter when they expect that the administration might be finalised. All right,
then. Okay, mate. All right, okay, Bruce. Your show, and thanks very much for your help, mate.
No trouble. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB, 27 minutes past 9, as we say hi to Robin. G'day, Robin. How are you today?
Yeah, good, thank you.
How can we help?
It's a sort of a very tricky question I just sort of need some advice on.
Sure.
Like, I won't mention names or whatever.
No, that'd be good.
It's with regards to one, maybe two doctors.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, my wife had a stroke, and she overcome that, and she was discharged.
Mm-hmm.
And given the okay, and nothing more was said. And in 2017, she fell over and broke her hip in four places.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, she was waiting on the list for getting her knees fixed, but that's another thing.
Hmm.
But when she got discharged from the broken hip, they said she had to go straight to a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? Well, they said, she's got dementia. And I nearly fell off the chair. And they never told me back in 2015, because they said to me, look, here's a scan from 2015. She's got it then.
Mm.
And they never told me.
Mm.
And they said, oh, by the way, we've already cancelled all your legal capacities. And you have to go to a nursing home because she's a runaway risk.
Right.
And right or wrong, they wouldn't let me bring her home.
Mm.
And she was quite normal, really.
Mm.
The only reason she wanted to get out of the place was to come home to me.
Right.
And
so are you saying, did you have power of attorney for your wife? Do you have power of attorney?
Yes.
Mm.
But the problem was we didn't have a chance to update our wills or other things.
Well, your will doesn't matter so much while your wife is alive, but if your wife has got a power of attorney which says that you are her attorney for personal and health matters and financial matters, which would be quite normal. You live in Queensland, do you, Robin?
Yes.
Yeah, well, if you've got power of attorney, then contrary to what the hospital say or what the doctors have said, you're the one who has the right to make decisions about her care. Now, I don't know how they can say to you, we've cancelled all your legal rights, because I don't think they are capable of doing that, unless they bring an application to QCAT, to the Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal, to say that you're not fit to act as the administrator of her financial affairs nor her guardian for health matters. Now, there are circumstances where hospitals will say that we will not discharge this patient back to a home environment because of the risk of fall or whatever, and that in the circumstances we want them to go to a nursing home. And that really is something that you need to talk through with the doctors. So is your wife presently in a nursing home now?
Unfortunately, she passed away in 2019.
Right. So, so how long was she in aged care?
Well, she was in. We finally found one after a couple of almost a couple of months.
Mm.
And when we did, they then charged me for fees for overstay.
Right.
But I managed to write it a letter, and they waived that.
Waived those, yep.
But then she was in there for about 4 months at the most.
Mm.
And all the staff were saying she's not that far gone. She shouldn't be here.
Mm. And Robin, unfortunately, we're just pressing up to the local news. So I wonder if we might just be able to, if you could just stay on the line, and I might get reception to take your telephone number so that I can give you a call at another stage and just continue the discussion, because it's not going to be a topic that we can, or a subject that we're going to be able to sort out in a minute or so. So would that be okay for you to just wait on the line and we'll get them to take the call back?
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay,
thank
and I
you
can give
much.
You a call probably later in the day.
Yes.
So just before we finish up the program, you may remember that Margarita called last week and she was asking about the enforcement of a judgment in New South Wales. And I did pull out my trusty table of limitation of actions for Australia, which goes to 57 pages for the various limitations there are. But Margarita's question specifically was about the enforcement of a judgment that she'd obtained in Victoria. Now, in Victoria, the period of time is 15 years from the date the judgment became enforceable. But these vary from state to state. So the ACT, New South Wales, Northern Territory, Queensland and Tasmania, as well as, and Tasmania, are all 12 years. South Australia and Victoria are 15 years. And Western Australia was prior to the 15th of November 2005, it was 12 years, which, of course, is now passed. But since the 15th of November 2005, it's now 6 years. So as with everything in our federation and the law, nothing is ever straightforward. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning. I look forward to being back next week for another program of The Law and You. But as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.
You've been listening to The Law and You, proudly brought to you by Bell Legal Group, the Gold Coast's longest established law firm, helping Gold Coasters since 1955. Call them today on 55 97 33 66.